John chapter 3, and we're at the end of the chapter. Our focus is going to be verses 31 to 36. I'll begin reading, however, at John 3, verse 22, and read through the end of the chapter. Hear God's holy word. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside. And he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because the water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of our God endures forever. You may be seated. Let's pray for God's blessing on his word. Our Father, we do thank you and we praise you that you give us your word. And Father, we thank you that you've sent your Son into the world to live for us, to die for us, but Lord, to show us you, to shine the light. Lord, we pray that your light would shine this morning, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, that you would open our hearts. And so, Lord, bless us each and bless he who brings your word, that we would hear what you have for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, last week we were called to strive to be useful Christians. In that striving, we need to avoid jealousy and realize that our goal, right, is not to make a name for ourselves, but we are to seek to glorify God, to magnify, to glorify the name of Christ. We also saw that we're to serve joyously. John rejoiced when the elect were going to Christ. He realized that Christ is the bridegroom and that his task was kind of like the best man. And he was to rejoice when the bride and groom came together. Right? The best man at a wedding is not seeking attention on him. He's not seeking to make himself known. He's seeking what? Hey, look at the groom over here. He's seeking the name of the groom. And it's not a surprise that John had this attitude of humility in serving the Lord, that Christ must increase and I must decrease, right? He had the attitude from the beginning that said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Knowing all of this, John was thrilled and wanted Christ to be exalted. Now, in our passage before us today, there's a little debate in chapter 3 as it closes whether verses 31 to 36 are some concluding remarks of John the Baptist to his disciples, or whether these are some remarks of the author of John's gospel, the other John. And in one sense, it really doesn't matter who the earthly author was, John the Baptist speaking these, or John the Apostle. I'm going to lean to the fact that it's John, the author of the gospel, but he's tying some important themes of this chapter together. But regardless of who's speaking, this chapter concludes by highlighting why Jesus is the one person who deserves, who needs to, who must be, who you need to hear, who you need to believe, who you need to follow. And so as John the Baptist proclaimed, he must increase and I must decrease. We're now told that Jesus is the witness from heaven. Right? Why is John to decrease? Because who is John but a mere man? And why must Christ increase? Because he's the one who's come from heaven. He's different than everyone else. He has the words of eternal life. And so today we'll be looking at the witness from heaven and two things that we'll focus on. First of all, the witness himself, and then the great question, the greatest question that everyone needs to ask. Who is Christ and what is your take on him? Let's then take a look at the witness from heaven. Now, you have to remember that John's followers complained that people were following Jesus instead of John. Now, of course, John's disciples didn't realize that this is exactly what John wanted. His ministry, his purpose was to point to Jesus, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. But the point here is that Jesus is uniquely exalted. He is one of a kind. John the Baptist was, we might say, even though he's in the New Testament, he's the last of a line of what? Old Testament prophets, whose task was to point to Jesus. But what is John the Baptist? He's a mere man. He's a prophet, but a mere man who was to point to Christ. Jesus is so much different. Jesus is not a mere prophet. Verse 31 says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. And so you see what's being said here. Jesus speaks with an authority far greater than anyone else. John the Baptist is just a mere prophet from the earth. Christ has come from where? He's come from heaven itself. The only thing John can say is what? What he's received from God. Christ is of a different status, right? He's the one who's come from heaven. He's the one who's there, been there, seen all, knows all. He is totally different. Christ doesn't speak on the basis of what he's what? Heard from someone else. He's not a mere witness in that sense. He's a witness in a different sense. He's the one who's seen and been in heaven. He's no mere man. He knows all. He comes from heaven. And so he can speak in a way and with an authority like no one else, like no prophet. He isn't dependent on anyone or anything. Jesus came into the world from heaven and therefore is above all. You remember what we saw already back in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He whose origins are from heaven came into the world, and he speaks with an authority like no one else. And so what John the Baptist had to say, of course, was great, but what Jesus says is far beyond that. And so both John, the author, and John the Baptist are happy to see people listening to Jesus. But also note, as Jesus begins his ministry, that people are recognizing that he speaks with a different kind of authority. Right? The speakers, the teachers, the rabbis back in that day, remember how they spoke? As Rabbi so-and-so has said about Rabbi so-and-so, they would do all their quotes of people. Jesus speaks with an authority of his own. Matthew 7, 28, 29 says, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." Jesus speaks of things that he knows firsthand. He bears witness, verse 32, to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. The prophets can only bear witness to what they've received from, of course, God. Jesus bears testimony to what he has seen and heard, right? He's different. Yet no one receives that testimony. Or think about it this way. The best place to go for information about heaven and salvation is where? To one who comes from heaven, right? If you want to know about a certain place, let's just say on earth somewhere, who are you going to ask? Well, I heard somebody say this about that place, who heard that from somebody else. Is that the best place to go? Or if you want to know about a particular place, if you know somebody that's come from that place, isn't that the best person to speak to about that place? Who's the best person to speak about heaven? He who's come from heaven. He who knows what's there. He who not just came from heaven, but therefore he who is what? He who is God. There's no better source for truth about salvation in heaven than the Son of God who has come from heaven. That's why Jesus says later on, right, in John here, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." There's no better source for truth and salvation than Jesus. And think about this. No other religion has anyone anywhere near like Jesus. No religious leader can compare. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not the Dalai Lama, not Joseph Smith. Jesus Christ alone is the very Son of God who's come from heaven with firsthand knowledge of heaven and salvation. No other religion claims to have such a leader. And Jesus Christ has a totally different message than any other so-called religious leader or teacher. Think about it. Every false religion, despite how different they are from one another, whether it be Islam or Buddhism or Mormonism or Judaism, even Roman Catholicism, teaches that we come to God, at least in part, by what? By being good. By doing good works. Every other religion contains in some way a doctrine of merits. I am right with God by what I do. You must do this. You need to change. You need this. The message of Christ is different. Jesus is what? He's the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist has said, who has come to take away the sin of the world. Not to help you merit salvation. He died on the cross in the place of his people. In fact, remember what Jesus taught Nicodemus in this very chapter. Nicodemus thought that he was good, but Jesus told him that he must be born again. Jesus also said the Son of Man must be lifted up. That is, must be lifted up on the cross to die for the sins of his people. There is where salvation is. Jesus alone teaches that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus teaches salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Why? Because Christ has come from heaven. And he kept the law in our place. And he took the punishment that we deserve. This is not what men of the earth think of when they think of salvation. And so it's very strange today that there are so many who say that you need to learn from one another, that when we go out to evangelize, what we're doing is trying to create a conversation, that we Christians can learn from those of other religions, and what we have to do is to kind of tie all these things together and mold them all together. No! Who knows the truth but he who's come from heaven, Jesus? To mix Jesus with works is to reject Jesus and his work. Don't listen to the world. Jesus is the witness from heaven. He has the true gospel. There is no other true gospel. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. Isn't that what the supper proclaims to us right now as well? There is no other Savior but he who lived and died for his people. Jesus came to bear witness to what he has seen and heard. Now, while it's true that Jesus performed many miracles, it's also important for us to understand that Jesus came into the world to bear witness. Do you remember in Mark chapter 1 what Jesus did after performing many miracles and healings? Remember that? What did he do? Mark 1, 34 to 39. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. What were the purpose of miracles? To say to those who heard him what? "This is the one who's come from heaven." Right? The purpose, the chief purpose of miracles wasn't merely to be kind. Now, by that, I'm not saying Jesus was not being kind by miracles, but the chief purpose behind miracles was what? To be able to say, "This is the one from heaven." And again, notice verse 38, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Jesus came to preach, to bring a message, to reveal heaven, to reveal the way of salvation. The problem is that people are unwilling to receive him. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Well, nobody receives his testimony apart from the work of the Spirit within, of course. A.W. Pink says that most people refuse Jesus because his message is too heavenly for them. In other words, people are consumed and concerned with things of the earth. Very few people today attend church to hear the word of Christ proclaimed. They would prefer to watch a ball game than hear about Christ. Or they prefer to what? Let's watch the Olympics instead of listening to Christ. They watch to see if a little white ball can be hit into a hole rather than what? Hear about a message for their souls. And by the way, I'm not saying don't you dare enjoy sports. You can enjoy sports. But I'm saying, how can people be so thrilled with sports and not want to hear a message about their souls? Man condemns himself by his lack of interest in salvation and the things of heaven. And they're thrilled with what? Sports on Sunday.
Or what have we learned already? John 3:19, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. People will sometimes ask, but how can we know that Jesus is true? Brothers and sisters, this is not a mere human giving a record or restating what they heard from someone else or what they learned. This is the Word of God. This is not merely a human process subject to human error. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sent from heaven by the Father to reveal heavenly truth to the world. That's why Christ came. So will you believe the message of Christ? Will you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him? Many have, and many will reject that message. May that not be said of anyone here. And by the way, notice in verse 32 that it does not say that Jesus bore witness, past tense, but it says that He bears witness, present tense. Jesus did not merely come into the world to speak the truth and then leave it merely to human agencies to present the truth to the world. The Spirit continues to work through the message of Christ even now. In Hebrews, we read this, Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Christ continues to speak through His Word. But how do we know that Jesus really came from heaven? Well, He also comes, we might say, with witnesses or credentials. Two things mentioned here. The first is that He possesses the Spirit in full measure. He even dispenses of the Spirit, or the Spirit it proceeds from Him. Now, yes, believers do have the Spirit. On Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out on the church. However, notice that Jesus has full possession of the Spirit. Verse 34, for He whom God has sent utters the words of God, for He gives the Spirit without measure. Or remember Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 said, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set liberty those who are oppressed. And we see this throughout Jesus' ministry as He performs miracles, certifying His teaching. The Spirit is there. But there's another certification as well. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. John was one of those who heard the voice speaking from heaven after Jesus was baptized that said what? This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God sent His Son. Jesus is to be heard. He's to be listened to. Your faith is to be in Him. But the greatest question right of all time, the greatest question that you need to ask yourself is your faith in Him? Have you heard what Jesus has to say? Have you taken it to heart? What do you make of Jesus? Have you responded to Christ in faith? Or have you hardened your heart and are unbelieving? Jesus teaches of our need to be born again and of God's gift of His Holy Spirit to bring us to a knowledge of Him. Also speaks of the Son being lifted up. And so what is your response? Again, the greatest question that could ever be asked is your faith in Him. Because of what we read in this last verse, we then ask, whoever, right, believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So there are really only two options.
The first is to believe the message of the Savior, put your faith in him, and if you've done that, you have eternal life right now. And again, notice the past tense of verse 36. Not whoever believes in him will eventually have eternal life. No, whoever believes has eternal life. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life. You are immediately pardoned. Your sins are done away with, paid for by Christ. Why and how is that possible? It's not that your faith accomplishes or merits that blessing. It doesn't. It's because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if your faith is in him, then your sin has been dealt with fully and completely. The other option is to reject Christ. But look at the warning of verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. If you'll not believe in Jesus, if you'll not put your faith in him, then you're not even going to see life. To reject the Savior and the witness that God has sent is therefore to commit treason against heaven. To deny him the faith that he calls for is to forfeit the life that he offers. It's therefore to leave you in your own sins. God's wrath remains on such a person and he will not see life. Such a person will bear God's wrath himself for eternity. People sometimes today get angry when we talk about God's wrath. They think, boy, you are so narrow-minded to think that there's only one way of salvation. But what did he who comes from heaven, he who performed miracles showing that he came from heaven, what did he say? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. There is no greater evil than to deny the one who the Father has sent and whom the Spirit has testified to. Unbelievers will spend an eternity in hell for rejecting not what the church says, but for rejecting the one who came from heaven. But again, one has come from heaven. He has kept the law in the place of those who are his. He is the Lamb who died on the cross to pay for the sins of those who are his. Is your faith in Christ? Are you resting on him? And if you are, again, what does verse 36 say? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Praise God for his grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you and how we praise you for what Christ has done. We thank you, Lord, for his perfect life. We thank you, Father, for his sacrifice. We thank you that he's come into the world to show us the Father. Lord, we thank you for what he has done. May it be that each here would rest on him. And we praise you, Lord, for our Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.